What up, everybody? I am back. It's the outstanding original, the Oracle of Ideas. I'm O'Shea, repping for the Nation of Podcation, doing my AEW review this week. Shout out to AEW. They put on a good show this week. I was impressed with what they did this week. Shout out to AEW. Even on the different times, we know that they came out on Saturday, and then now they're on Thursday. They're just being, you know, passed around, you know, like a redhead stepchild due to the NBA's rescheduling of the playoffs. So, unfortunately, you know, it's just been all over the place for them. But, I mean, the quality of the show has been really good, especially this last one that they put on this Thursday. So, shout out to AEW for that. They kicked off the show with a tag team gauntlet match. So, this was four teams in this. Starting off, you had the Young Bucks versus the Natural Nightmares. Decent match here, man. Like, this was one of the times I actually got to see the Young Bucks actually work a real match. Like, I've seen them work a match before, but most of the time their stuff is all outside of the ring, just control chaos, all kind of flips, gymnastic stuff like that. So to see them work with, you know, Dustin and QT Marshall, they actually, you know, was using the tags, using the actual tag team strategy. So I like that a lot, man. Shout out to the Bucks for actually showing that they can work, you know, an actual tag team match. The Natural Nightmares, there was no way they were going to beat the Young Bucks here. Let's just keep it real. We know that, you know, they were just put in there to just be enhancement talent. So Young Bucks got the win there, easily eliminated the Natural Nightmares. So you guys know how the gauntlet works. Next up, next team up, you know, it just keeps going. So the next team was the Best Friends. And shout out to Chris Jericho. He was on commentary. He was phenomenal on commentary. I wish they would just replace, you know, everybody would just, Chris Jericho, Jim Ross, go old school, two man. Those two played well off of each other, and let Tony Schiavone just be the interview guy. That makes everything work so much smoother. You know, Tony Schiavone, he's at that, you know, point where he'd be real good being like your Todd Pettengill or, you know, your backstage interviewer, your coach type dude. So that's how I feel about it. And I would love to see just Jim Ross and Chris Jericho go back and forth. They would be like the new King and Jim Ross from the late 90s, early 2000s. So shout out to them too. I love what they do on commentary. The Best Friends, you had Chuck Taylor and Trent. They were doing their thing against the Young Bucks, back and forth action here. It started to get a little bit more choreographed to me during this portion, but the Young Bucks still put on a good match here. This match started all the drama here. So we had Hangman Adam Page come down to the ring and prevent the Young Buck from making the save on his brother, and the Best Friends get the win here. So it looks like we're having some serious problems with the Elite. You got last week you had, what was that, Kenny Omega. He was about to go crazy on the dude, and the Young Bucks were like, nah, chill out, you know, we're the faces, we're the good guys, you shouldn't be doing that stuff. And then now you had Adam Page, you know, he's not going for that, so he stopped them from getting advancing in this gauntlet match. So shout out to him. So, you know, the tag team champions, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, those two really, really got some beef with the Young Bucks. So I'm really interested to see what happens there. Next team in, since the Young Bucks were eliminated, we had FTR. I know the one thing I do like that AEW is doing, they are keeping FTR and they are keeping the Young Bucks away from each other. They're not letting them to have a match together. They are, you know, there's always some circumstance where those two aren't getting to face off. They're either on the same team, or like this situation, the Young Bucks got eliminated, because that's where this is eventually going. We're going to see the FTR versus the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team Championship sometime by the end of this year, if not the beginning of 2021 for sure. So we all know FTR was definitely getting the win here. They're the best tag team in the business. They beat the Best Friends up. They are one step closer to them AEW Tag Team Championships. And we got Hangman Page and Kenny Omega versus FTR. That's going to be a phenomenal match. I can't wait to see that. So FTR gets the win here. I really like this match a lot. It was really entertaining. The FTR Best Friends, like, they need to have more matches together. AEW has by far the best tag team division. They put an emphasis on their tag team division. So shout out to AEW for keeping me entertained with that tag team action. Next up, we had Lance Archer with Jake the Snake Roberts go against Sean Maluta. This was just a glorified squash match. Lance Archer, Mr. Murder Hawk Monster himself, he got the win really, really easy here. I mean, he would beat up the dude and act like he's going to pin him and then pull him up and then beat up on him some more. So it was just really a glorified squash match. After the match, that was the good stuff, because Jake Roberts is, you know, talking about the Casino Battle Royal coming up at All Out. Then we get Taz interrupting with Team Taz. We got Ricky Starks and Brian Cage coming down to the ring. Awesome, awesome work. This was one of the first times I've ever seen Taz and Jake Roberts kind of have any kind of interaction in the ring together. So that was pretty cool to see, pretty cool moment. They go back and forth saying whose guy is going to win. So I like that. I like that, what was going on with that. Then we get Darby Allin, Mr. Skateboard Man himself. He's coming down the ramp through the back alleyways, and he comes to the ring going after Ricky Starks. Listen, I'm not a big fan of Darby Allin unless you're going to have like some sort of cruiserweight division. There is no way in hell that I think that this little dude, he's 135 pounds, skinny little punk with, you know, face paint on. He looks like, you know, like Jeff Hardy's kid or something like that. Am I really supposed to think that he can go up against Ricky Starks, who's obviously way bigger, way stronger, way more muscles? It would just look like he would beat the hell out of him. Him and Brian Cage, no way in hell. So not really feeling it. I mean, I get it. They're trying to put Darby Allin over. He is a crazy gimmick character, but I just don't really feel his gimmick. And I mean, he's just not believable to me. Next up, we had John Moxley, MJF, contract signing for All Out. We all know John Moxley, AEW World Champion, MJF. He's out there with his presidential squad, his presidential his unit or whatever you want to call them. So they've got this contract stipulation in there, and they're saying basically, long story short, they put this stipulation in there that Moxley can't use the paradigm shift finisher during that match. And Moxley, he does some good stuff here. He does some classic face stuff. He adds his own little piece to the contract that they had already signed. And he has to go against the little mouthpiece guy of MJF, MJF's lawyer. And if MJF's lawyer backs out of the match, MJF loses his title opportunity. I thought that was a nice change up, a nice addition here to this. Because normally we all know what happens during these crazy little contract signings. Somebody goes through the table. Somebody's getting thrown out of the ring. It's always some sort of chaos. So they just added a different stipulation, added a stipulation to the actual title match, and then added a stipulation for next week's match. So I like what they did with that. And then if the lawyer doesn't show up, MJF doesn't get his title shot. So I like that. And that was just a little trickery there by John Moxley. So I like that. Next up, we had an 8-man tag match. Sometimes AEW, they overdo it with the tag team matches. It's just so much tag. We just had a 4-team gauntlet match, and now we're having an 8-man tag team match. I feel them. They want to try to get everybody on the show, and you know, everybody, you know, Jim Cornette, he always calls it all friends wrestling, because they all try to get everybody on the show and as many people on there. So shout out to them for doing that, but it's just not necessary. That's just too many people. There's just too much going on. Just another big cluster. Back and forth action here. It was basically the Lucha Bros, the Butcher and the Blade. The new Eddie Kingston faction. Shout out to Eddie Kingston. About damn time he's getting some shine in professional wrestling. He is on national TV. I didn't think he would get there, man, just because he's too grimy, he's too much of a thug to be out there, but he is on national TV. So happy for Eddie Kingston. Way to go, you know, Eddie Kingston. And he looks like he's the head of this stable, since Lucha Bros can't really talk, Butcher and Blade don't really talk too much. So Eddie Kingston's looking like he's about to be the new face of this group here. Then we had Joey Janela, Sonny Kiss. Shout out to Brian Pillman Jr. Jim Ross is always talking on his podcast that he would do anything and everything he could in his power to get Brian Pillman Jr. a job and get him over. So it looks like he finally got that in there. And then we got Griff Garrison. MJF beat him up a couple weeks ago on AEW Dynamite. So we'll see what happens here. Kind of already know Eddie Kingston's group's going to get the win here. They're the team that's getting the focus here. They're the new group. They're the new unit. They're not just this you know, random group of people just thrown together. They've actually had at least a week of continuity, but, you know, everybody in AEW is basically stabled up now. There's, what, at least four or five stables between, you know, the Elite and the Dark Order, and now you got Eddie Kingston's group, and it's just, you know, so many stables going on in AEW right now. But the match really wasn't nothing to, you know, brag about. It's just a regular, you know, eight-man clusterfuck, basically. It was just an average match, but Eddie Kingston's crew gets the win here. Nothing really more to say about that. Next up, we had Brody Lee celebrating his TNT Championship victory. We all know he beat Cody Rhodes, and when I say he beat Cody Rhodes at the Saturday Dynamite, he beat the shit out of Cody Rhodes. Like, Cody Rhodes didn't stand a chance. I don't know if Cody's trying to take some time off or whatever's going on with that, but Cody got the hell beat out of him. Usually every week he's just been putting on classic matches. I don't want to say classic matches, but he's been putting on competitive matches with everybody he's been stepping in the ring with, but this one was the exact opposite. Shout out to Brody Lee and the Dark Order. They've got that TNT Championship belt with them now. They do this little silly, you know, the Dark Order does this silly, you know, funeral for Cody Rhodes. I wasn't really feeling that. That's just more, you know, WWE light. I don't need that on my AEW. I want to see something different. Brody Lee comes out and he's getting high fives from everybody, as he should. You know, him beating Cody Rhodes, people have been trying to beat Cody Rhodes for weeks and weeks and weeks for that title, and he finally got to do it. So shout out to him. Proud of himself. He should be. Shout out to the Dark Order and Brody Lee there. Next up, we had a female triple one-on-three kind of match going on, which is just another one of AEW's attempts to get everybody on the damn card. It just have a one-on-one match. Like, can we just get that? Can I just get a one-on-one match just once or twice in the card? You know what I mean? Not just have these 8, 9, 10 man group matches. It's crazy to me. But we had female wrestling action. We had Big Swole versus Britt Baker, Penelope Ford, and Rebel. You know, decent match here. Obviously, Britt Baker, she was just on the outside basically being a manager on this, so she really didn't do anything. I can't wait for her to actually, you know, her leg to heal up, her nose to heal up. She's really beat the hell up right now. So, but she's been really, really entertaining every week, you know, doing her skits. And then her and Tony Schiavone kind of have their gimmick. So shout out to Britt Baker. But Big Swole, she dominates here. She dominates Reba. She dominates, but, you know, she just beats the hell out of them, you know, like, just, you know, and make quick work of them. There were some spots in there where they had some decent little matches, but I mean, Big Swole to go against 2.5 people here, decent match here. I really wasn't feeling it too much, though. I think all of these women need more work in the ring, but I understand where they're going. They're trying to progress this story, so whenever Britt Baker comes back, we're going to see Britt Baker versus Swole, which hopefully that leads to one of them two competing for the AEW Women's Championship, so that's what I'm looking forward to there. Next up, we had the final match of the night. We had a tables match between Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara, he's one of my favorites in AEW right now, just because he reminds me of, since the Inner Circle kind of reminds me of a low budget NWO a little bit. Jericho's kind of trying to do his best Hollywood Hogan impression. I'm gonna say Sammy Guevara, he's like the Six or the X-Pac of that group. You know, he's usually out there with his camera. He's the little dude. He's the young guy of the group. So if I had to make a comparison, it would be like if you take Eddie Guerrero and you take X-Pac and you put them together. That's kind of what you would get, you know, with mashing those two guys together. So shout out to Sammy Guevara. Matt Hardy, listen, there's nothing in 2020 that I want to see with Matt Hardy. He's pretty much done it all in professional wrestling. I don't want to see him anymore. There's nothing about his matches. I've seen everything that you can do. There's nothing that you're going to do that's going to be new to me. You know, like, we've been seeing you since the 90s. I think it's about time that, you know, he takes a break, you know, from wrestling, maybe become just a manager, maybe try to get into commentary, maybe become an agent, because we all know that he can do some awesome things with coming up with some crazy match types and putting different matches together. So shout out to Matt Hardy, but I just don't want to see you wrestling in 2020. It's just not the same. I'm not with all the gimmicks anymore. I don't, you know, I'm over the broken universe. I'm over, you know, he's trying to rebrand himself as Matthew Hardy, saying that he has no gimmick now, but it's a gimmick that you're, it's just too much, man. I'm just over Matt Hardy in 2020. Decent match here. Sammy Guevara gets the win here. You know, like, it was a bloody match, hardcore match. Obviously, it was a tables match, so you guys know how that goes. The point of the match is to put your opponent through the table. That's how you get the victory. So Sammy did put Matt Hardy through the table front with a suplex off the second or top rope. So it was a decent match. Sammy, he can do some phenomenal stuff in the ring. He's just no nonsense, crazy, you know, what he does in the ring. But like I said, Matt Hardy, let's get him over. Hopefully Sammy Guevara can end Matt Hardy being on television for a while here. After that, you know, we had Chris Jericho. He was on commentary, and Orange Cassidy, he comes out, and, you know, these two, they have the Orange Mimosa match at this pay-per-view, at the All Out pay-per-view. Now, I'm over that, too. That's just overly gimmicky to me. Like, the winner of the match by pinfall, submission, or you have to throw your opponent into a big, you know, what did they say, a 50-gallon thing of Orange Mimosa. Like, come on, man, that's just overly gimmicky. I don't need all of that with my wrestling, man. I just need my wrestling. I need somebody to hate somebody and somebody to do something to somebody. I don't need the water matches. I don't need the football field matches. I just don't need that with my wrestling. But these two have an interaction. Orange Cassidy attacks Jericho. They fight. That's how the show ends. You know, Jim Ross, this is one of the best Jim Ross performances I've seen in AEW. I know a lot of people giving him a lot of hell. They're saying he's just an angry old man now, and, you know, he doesn't want to really be there anymore, and blah, 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 blah. Jim Ross, he still got it when he wants to. They just have to put on a good product for him to actually, you know, want to call and be proud of calling. And he has to have the right commentary partner. I mean, him and Tony Schiavone, they do too much stuff. They're too much alike. They're both lead guys. So that's awkward there. I wasn't never a fan of Excalibur. I mean, he's calling him the match with the mask on. Just get rid of him. He never needs to come back, especially after what he was talking about, that stupid angle that he did back in the day. Taz, he's decent on there. If they just wanted to do Taz and Jim Ross, that would be cool. But I would rather see Taz and Chris Jericho. I think that's Chris Jericho's calling, because him and Jim Ross was money all night long. I love what they did on commentary. So this episode of AEW was a really fun episode for me. I gave it 3 stars. If you check out my YouTube video, you can see video highlights of what was going on, and then I give a quick recap of what was going on at the end there. But I gave this 3 stars. Really fun show here. I liked a lot of what they were doing. They just need to chill out with all of the extra people that they have. Like, I just need to see a couple, you know, I just need to see some singles matches, some tag team matches. I don't need to see your entire roster, you know, on the show because you want to have, you know, a gauntlet tag team match, an 8-man tag team match. You know, it's just so much going on with you know, how many people they try to use in the show. But it was an entertaining show. I liked it a lot. What's there to say? You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens at the pay-per-view. MJF, I'm predicting him to go over Moxley with some sort of shenanigans, and he's going to be the new AEW champion. Really interested to see what happens with this TNT title. I want to see if Cody Rhodes comes back with a vengeance. I want to see the AEW tag team title match. I want to see Adam Page, and I want to see Kenny Omega versus FTR for that. I want to see how the breakup of the Elite folds out. There's a lot of stuff going on with AEW that I'm interested in, and I'm really looking forward to it. You guys know what time it is. Leave your comments below. Thank you for checking out my show. You know the routine. Like, follow, share, subscribe, support Nation of Podcation on YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, that's where we're at. Also, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. And we take donations at patreon.com/nationofpodcation. It's me, the outstanding original, the Oracle of Ideas. I'm O'Shea. For the Nation of Podcation, I am out. Peace. What up, everybody? It's me, the outstanding original, the Oracle of Ideas. I'm O'Shea from the Nation of Podcation. If you like pro wrestling, check out my weekly pro wrestling reviews at Nation of Podcation on YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Anchor, wherever you get your podcast, that's where we're at. Also, make sure you subscribe on YouTube, and we take donations at patreon.com/nationofpodcation. It's me, the outstanding original, the Oracle of Ideas. I'm O'Shea for the Nation of Podcation. I am out. Peace.